This episode, Once Upon a Time Lord at the Gallifrey One Convention. Hello, and welcome to the Once Upon a Geek podcast, a proud member of the Fire and Water Podcast Network. On today's episode, we are finding our joy by talking about Doctor Who, specifically at the fantastic convention held in Los Angeles each year called Gallifrey One. My name's Iridamel Shag, and I am your host, and this time I have brought along my Gallifrey One wingman. This guy, he is my Rory to my 11th Doctor. He's my Gilligan to my Skipper. Folks, please help me welcome to the show Mr. David Ace Gutierrez. How you doing, buddy? Thanks for being here.
I'm good. I don't know if we have that kind of relationship where I'm like the sidekick. I'd like to think of us more as two equal leads. You know what I mean? Like when, if anything, I'm maybe like the lead for the spinoff show. This is the crossover episode that introduces everyone to the new hot stuff guy.
You're the Captain Jack?
Okay. Well, no, not now.
I was going to call you my Rose to my 9th Doctor, but I thought that might get a little weird.
That's okay. I appreciate it. They're best friends, right? They were best friends. We're best friends.
Either way, for 3 days a year, you're my best friend. Absolutely right. we are joined at the hip at the convention, and we just have a fantastic time. So what we thought we would do, folks, is record this conversation in advance of the convention. We're going to talk about what we love about the convention, why it's special, some happy memories from previous years, what we're looking forward to for the 2023 convention, which is coming up real quick. Now, by the time you hear this, folks, it's in the past, but just so you know, it is February 16th through the 19th, 2023. So it's in our future. And then we're going to take a break. We'll go to a podcast promo break. And when we come back, we're actually going to record live from the convention at the end and let you know how it worked out for us. So it's kind of a fun before and after.
It is time travel, essentially.
It's a wibbly wobbly podcast. That's a great point. Now, before we get too much further, we do need to take a second to thank our sponsors. Folks, this episode of Once Upon a Geek is sponsored in part by InStockTrades.com. InStockTrades is your best online source for comic book trades, hardcovers, and other collected editions, all for up to 42% off with free shipping on orders of $50 or more. Now, each episode, we select a comic book collected edition to briefly discuss from the InStockTrades library. Usually, it's tied into our conversation in some way, shape, or form. As you might expect, we picked some Doctor Who ones this time. I picked Doctor Who 13th Trade Paperback Volume 1. So this is all about the 13th Doctor. In fact, it's her first trade paperback of her new stories from Titan Comics. And some folks love Jodie Whittaker as the Doctor, but don't necessarily like her episodes. Some, you know, a lot of them say it was great casting, maybe not the great execution on the episodes. That's for you to decide. But I will tell you that this collection of issues, I think, is better than some of the televised episodes. I really like it. It's a great showcase for Jodie's Doctor and the TARDIS team. It collects the 13th Doctor series, issues 1 through 4, written by Jodie Houser, art by Rachel Stott, cover by Babs Tarr. 112 pages. It's full color. Normally goes for $16.99, and it's 30% off right now, so it's only $11.89. I love this. Did you happen to read this trade by chance?
I did not, but I will.
It's really good. I because at the time, I mean, I don't want to get too deep into it, but like the first season of Jodie, there's some episodes that were great, and there's some episodes I didn't love. That's just my personal opinion. Again, I love her. I love the TARDIS team.
She's great.
Yeah, just there were certain episodes that weren't great, but this trade was awesome. I mean, it was really a great story. So what did you bring, buddy?
Well, as your listeners may know, you are a giant fan of the Eighth Doctor, who I also regard as my personal Doctor.
Woohoo!
So I've chosen his one and only comic series, really, the Doctor Who 8th Hardcover Volume 1 called The Matter of Life and Death. It's a 4-issue miniseries by George Mann and Emma Vicelli. It's a great done-in-one. You don't really need to know a lot about him going into it. You just need to know that he's really the best Doctor that's out there today. And this takes place before, I guess, his appearance for the 50th anniversary. That's really all you need to know of him.
It is kind of where he regenerates. So, yeah, probably not going to take place after that.
Well, he did make an appearance after that, though, didn't he?
Spoilers. I guess so.
Yeah. But it actually, yeah, it makes sense because there is a tie to the 13th Doctor with the 8th Doctor. So, yeah. Did you read this one?
I did. And I loved it. I thought it was great. I mean, the artist took a lot of liberties with the art depictions on purpose.
Right.
And I think it really worked. I don't want to say it's like manga. manga, but I mean, there's definitely some influences of manga
it's in cartoony. The art.
Yeah. And it's just, it's adventurous. It's lively. Cause I mean, he is so dynamic. I mean, he's so action oriented that it works really well for him. And you get to meet the new companion, Josie, who I liked quite a bit. And so yeah, this thing's 128 pages, normally goes for $19.99. You can get it for 25% off right now. So it's only $14.99. And like David said, it's the only Eighth Doctor comic book miniseries that's ever been done. I mean, he had the appearances in the Doctor Who magazine comic strips, right? And he had whatever the TV guide.
Radio Times?
Yep, Radio Times had a strip for a little while. But I mean, this is the real deal. This is a comic book, folks. And it's a lot of fun.
Please buy it at $14.99.
So for this and all your other comic book trade paperback needs, please visit InStockTrades.com. Now, this episode is also sponsored in part with your help through our Patreon. Because, you know, running the Fire and Water Podcast Network with so many shows has a lot of online hosting and services and things like that. And a while back, we realized we needed some help with the expenses. So we launched the Patreon, and you folks really stepped up to help us keep the network going. So if you're enjoying shows on the network, please visit our Patreon, which is patreon.com/FW podcast. And while you're there, consider supporting the Fire and Water Podcast Network. And in certain tiers, you get mentioned on your favorite shows. This episode, special thanks go out to Gord Tolton and some guy named David A. Gutierrez. So thank you to those strange two mysterious people who I have no idea who they are.
I might be the reason why this is that guy's favorite show.
Please visit patreon.com/FW podcasts. All right. So in a second, Dave and I are going to talk about Gallifrey 1. But folks, we want you involved in the conversation. I want to know, have you ever been to a Doctor Who convention? You know, or who's your favorite Doctor? Have you met any Doctor Who celebrities? What's your favorite Doctor Who cosplay? Get out there and let us know. The best place to do that is on our website, which is fireandwaterpodcast.com/onceuponageek. And you can leave your comments there on the show post. The reason why I mention this is because we will share thoughts from our website comment section on every fifth episode. Well, this happens to be the ninth episode. That means the very next episode you'll hear will have feedback from the previous episodes, five episodes, including this one. So this is your chance to get your feedback in before the next episode. You can also find us on other places in social media, such on Twitter as Once Upon a Geek, or over on Facebook and Instagram as Once Upon a Geek Podcast. So, and Gallifrey 1 has a huge social media presence too, so go out there and check it out if you want to see lots and lots of pictures from Gallifrey 1. You can check out the hashtag #PoundGally1, G-A-L-L-Y-1. Lots and lots of stuff out there. All right, David, so this is exciting. I love talking about exciting. Doctor Who. The unfortunate part is now we have to listen to you for a while, but we'll get through it. So, first off, what is your personal...
So polite. You're so polite.
And you got to put up with me for 3 days. What is your personal origin story with Doctor Who? How'd you find the show, and like, what made you fall in love with it?
Since we talked about doing this episode, I've been trying to figure out who introduced me to Doctor Who and when that was. And I feel like this is one of those things that I have a lot of false memories of as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I swear to God that I saw a Pertwee episode, but I feel like that's impossible. And I physically remember seeing Baker episodes, and he was my first Doctor.
Okay.
I had a neighbor who was a little older than me, Mark, who told me all about the show, like this, you know, this wacky alien and this scarf and crazy hair. It looks like Bob Dylan. you got to check it out. And I did. And it was a canine episode. And I thought, is this a kid show? Because, you know, you could kind of see the economics, like you could see how much money was spent. It was all on screen, right?
Yeah.
And I remember being terrified of an episode with the robots of Kalidor.
Oh, Robots of Death. So good.
Yeah, I know. So I know that wasn't a canine. So I have all these weird false memories of when it was. But he was my first Doctor, the fourth Doctor. I know for sure. I remember the robots because they terrified me. And I remember it's an old story. Everybody hides behind the couch watching Doctor Who, you know, like one eye on the screen, like one eye squeezed shut. That's, I think, my moment. And because of the nature of Doctor Who, it was shown on PBS.
Right.
It was on before Saturday Night Live. So I would watch that, then SNL. And they would show half-hour episodes. This was in El Paso, Texas. But I didn't get to see a lot of the continuation. So it felt like every Saturday was a new start or a new serial. I always got to see things in dribs and drabs and chunks. Then all of a sudden, like, who's this guy in like a white suit and like a pinstripe? You know, it was... There was a lot of change with Doctors, and I didn't know what was happening, but I loved it for a long time.
Ours, they would show a half-hour episode every weekday, like, I don't know, like 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, or something like that. But on Saturdays, they'd show the compilation movies. So, and they were never in sync. So it'd be like, you know, you'd be watching Tom Baker with the scarf one day, you know, on Monday through Friday. And then you get to Saturday, and you're like, who's this guy in the Jimi Hendrix outfit? You know, it's like, oh, John Pertwee, who's that? You know, and so...
Pertwee's.
Well, eventually, yeah. Baker was my first as well. And then once they cycled through Baker a couple of times, suddenly PBS, I don't know, they got some money. And so they picked up the Pertwee episodes. So we got to see those. And then we got to see the Peter Davison episodes and all that.
So did the regenerations make sense to you? Because as a kid, my neighbor had to fill me in on a lot of things. I don't know how he knew. I think he read Starlog or something.
I don't remember where. I had one buddy who would tell me about the show. But I don't remember how I got my information up until the point that I joined the Doctor Who Fan Club of America. Then I got this giant, it was like a newspaper. It was like, I don't know, I'll have to show you sometime. They're huge. They're like, I don't know, 40 pages
or
something.
Like a newspaper
something.
Size.
Yeah, like a little newspaper thing. Well, it's like a small one. But anyway, tons of articles in there. I learned so much about Doctor Who from there. Just massive amounts of history from Doctor Who I learned from that. And so I got up to speed pretty quick. I mean, I was a sponge absorbing this stuff.
Oh, it was always great. And I never knew which Doctor I was going to get sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like until the face flashed up.
Right.
Because what I would do is I would take my X-Wing or my TIE Fighter and I would fly it to the music. You know, it looks like it's in a vortex.
So you're playing with the Space Wizard toys. I'm impressed.
Yeah. And then I get to find out who my Doctor's going to be.
So when did you like transition from it was a show that you knew existed and you might watch to like when you realized this is my show? This is for me.
It was probably the wrong time. The Colin Baker
years. So the guy with the crazy coat. All right. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Is when I went full in because I was starved for something. Science fiction, you know, this was post 83. So Jedi was over. There wasn't Star Trek, The Next Generation yet. There were only really Star Trek movies that really kind of held my science fiction attention. So here was this weekly show and it wasn't good a lot of times, but it was there. And, it was water in a desert, if you will.
So when we meet Colin Baker next weekend, I want you to share the story. I know, but when we see him in a few days, I want you to share the story with him, by the way.
What, that I didn't like the show, but I made myself like the show.
Your show was like water in a starving desert of sci-fi.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I see a guy cosplaying as a robot from Robot of Death, I'm getting a picture of you with him.
I'm still terrified of those things.
I know. I want to see you like shaking like a cartoon character next to this thing.
And the Daleks rattled me too, but luckily they weren't on every week. But
right.
Well, nothing really, especially now, but nothing really struck me as harshly as those robots. And they didn't have names. Like they were just called robots. You know what I mean?
Well, it was Vok and Super Vok and Dumb. I think there was a Dumb series, if I remember right. Yeah, they were. That's a Chris Boucher, the guy who wrote that. It was Chris Boucher who wrote a bunch of the Blake Seven stuff. So there's connective tissue there.
That explains the sort of adultness. That was the other thing that was appealing to me about the show was it felt like I maybe wasn't supposed to be watching it. And it wasn't until the Colin Baker years that I felt like, no, this is for... this isn't sophisticated entertainment.
Right, right. You know? Oh, that's so funny. So,
which is sad, right. Because I love him as a doctor. So
he's fantastic. On Big Finish, when you can't see the coat, he's amazing. So, so who's your favorite doctor and why? You can pick any era at this point. You don't have to stick with classic. You can go next, you can go New Who, whatever.
Not a hard question. Number eight. Number eight.
Okay.
Because... I was in my early 20s, late teens when that movie came out.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I think, as a human being, maybe that's a time when everything becomes ownership of something becomes very important.
Yeah.
Like, this is my music. This is my era. This is my thing. So when I was finally going to have this doctor is probably closer to my age than the other ones have ever been. This is going to be my doctor. He's going to be my doctor for 2 whole hours. And even then, maybe about 45 minutes of that, 2 hours.
Right, right.
But I just thought he was like the hippest of at that time of the eight. Nine, if you count Peter Cushing. You know, he just felt like the most with it and the most contemporary to me. Like everyone else was like, maybe that was like my dad's doctor or the, mm-hmm. or like the older kid's doctor. But this was somebody that could be mine. This is, also around this time and were like comic book series that were starting out, comic book imprints that were new. And I felt like I can jump on this as well. So this was my foothold into it. It's sort of a like he imprinted on me, if you will.
Well, you make a great point about that age, you know, because I was 24. So we're talking about the, if we didn't make it obvious, we're talking about the 1996 TV movie starring Paul McGann, which is what
we're
talking
about.
The Fox one. And I was 24, and you're right. That's the age where you're like, okay, older people, get out of my way. You know, the world's mine now. You know, you've had your time. It's my turn. TV movie, it's got a lot of flaws, but it felt a lot fresher than anything we'd seen in Doctor Who in a long time. You know, this was exciting. This was new. It was on Fox. You know, this is going to, you know, when it gets picked up for a series, this is going to be on right before X-Files, you know, or something, right? Is what we thought. Right.
And it had money behind it. It looked like it had money behind it.
It did look like it.
Like a TV show, you know.
Right. So I was the same as you. I got totally on board, you know. And so when the books started getting publishing, I was totally in on those and the audios and the comic strips and anything I could get my hands on. I was more invested in Doctor Who at that moment from 1996 to probably about 2002, 2003 than I've ever been in my life. Because, you know, I wasn't married. I didn't have kids. I had a ridiculous amount of free time, a ridiculous amount of disposable income because I was out of college and I had a real job. So
I've never had that.
So I literally back then, though, you could buy everything. You could buy every Doctor Who release.
You could keep up with everything.
Exactly. So I bought it all. So I was totally on board. So yeah, the Eighth Doctor is absolutely beloved. See, my top changes. I have three slots at the top.
I didn't know we
favorite.
Could do that.
Well, it's my show. I can do whatever the hell I want.
All right.
I have three favorites, and they sort of it's a little fluid. It changes. Usually, it's Paul McGann at the top, without a doubt. Yeah, but the other two favorites are Peter Davison, the Fifth Doctor, the one from 1983, the ones in the Five Doctors of the lead guy, because that was the new Doctor when I started watching. You know, that was the Doctor who was having new adventures. Like, you know, all the other Doctors were great, but I already knew their beginning and the end of their story. This was, I don't know where his story is going to end. You know, this was the new stuff. So that's what was exciting. So when I started watching the show, he was the Doctor. So that was a big deal for me. And I love him. I love his likable manner, his gentlemanliness, his Britishness, the whole cricket thing. I just love it. I mean, the actor's great and he's approachable and friendly. He's like your favorite uncle you want to hang out with or something like that when you're a kid, you know?
Yeah.
And then the third slot is David Tennant. I absolutely took to the David Tennant portrayal of the 10th Doctor. I thought he was phenomenal. It was the right actor at the right time. The show felt so new, so hip, so fresh. You know, our Russell T. Davies was firing on all cylinders. And a lot of negative stuff you could say about that era if you want. But either way, at the time, it was so exciting. And I think he's fantastic.
Well, you're in luck because your guy keeps coming back.
Hey, he is a national treasure over in Europe. I mean, considering all the stuff he's done. He's not just, you know, a lot of these other actors are like, oh yeah, he was Doctor Who and did some other stuff too. David Tennant's like, you know, his credits are huge, you know.
He's the workingest actor I've ever seen.
My wife watches all his stuff except for Doctor Who. So, yeah. Rapid fire, what's some of your favorite monsters or villains?
Well, we talked about the robots.
Yep.
So those are some of my favorites. The Daleks, of course. And my 10-year-old has a, not so much now, but really had a real affinity, sort of scary affinity for the Daleks. And I just say scary because you learn later what they represent.
Right.
But they're kind of adorable in a weird way. Definitely the Sea Devils.
Ooh, I love those.
But that's probably because the story, not necessarily.
Not the rubber mask and the guy sloshing through the undertow as he's trying to get up on the beach.
Oh, the vampires I kind of got into a little more because of the Eighth Doctor and because of the Fourth Doctor stories.
Okay.
So that's what, three or four?
Yeah, that works. That works.
Yeah.
I've always been more of a Cyberman guy than a Dalek guy.
Interesting.
I love the Cyberman. Borg. I do. Well, you know, they were the Borg first. They really were. I like the Cyberman stories. I like the Abominable Snowman, the Yeti stuff. I like the Sea Devils. Those are some of my favorite classic monsters, without a doubt. So who is, and dare I say, I think I know the answer to this, who's your favorite Doctor Who companion?
That's really hard.
Oh, maybe I don't know.
I'm going to say Charlie from the Eighth Doctor audios.
Wow, from the Big Finish audio. Charlotte Pollard, the Edwardian adventuress. Fantastic. Yes. Yeah, the Big Finish stuff's fantastic with her.
India Fisher, played by India Fisher. Or, I mean, it's hard because Yeah, I just think 8th and Charlie, it's like peanut butter and jelly. Those okay. two, they're so wonderful together. You know what? I think another reason the 8th is so near and dear to me is because of the intimacy of audio.
Okay.
Like if I'm a very aural person, A-U-R-A-L, I'm a big music fan. So that sort of vibe and just the absorbing of information that way is just, there's something about it. And I think I think the fact that the Eighth Doctor, I associate so much with audio adventures. Yeah. I think that's why he and Charlie operate like they would be on my wedding cake if my wife was cool with it.
I met Jessica. No, she would not.
He didn't want a topping, so there was no topping. There was flowers. There were flowers.
It was an argument. It's either the Eighth Doctor and Charlie or nothing, and so it was
nothing. Yeah.
I love Charlie. I India Fisher was so wonderful to meet her last year at the convention. It was great. But you know what? I didn't think anyone would top Charlie until. But then Sheridan Smith came along as Lucy Bleeden Miller.
I was going to say
she's great.
I know it's hard. She's hard. I love his new companions, Liv and Helen, Livchenka and Helen Sinclair.
Yep.
Livchenka is so much a good foil for him and almost his equal in many ways.
Yep.
Like the thing about Charlie was she looked at him with adoration, and I think there was sort of a romantic surrogacy that she had for some of the audience members. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then Lucy Miller was very much just like her own thing. But I always felt like Lucy would never last as a companion, just in terms of the run of that character, she would hang it up.
Oh, okay. I feel like she burned bright and she went out just the right way.
I don't want to spoil anything about it, but she's one of those that's like, I've had my time, thank you. Charlotte Pollard, same thing, although different way. And Liv is just kind of, I'm just here for the duration until I run out of story. So I love all three of them.
Interesting thing about Liv, you know, she's played by Nicola Walker, who is a fantastic actress. I mean, she's really,
on her own.
Yeah, I mean, she
has her own series.
She's real. I mean, I don't mean this sounds so disparaging, but like she's a real actress. You know, like wow. And her
she's the real deal.
Her and Paul McGann actually were in a show together. I think it's called Annika. And
Annika.
Yeah, and they were like a love interest, I believe, if I understand right. But I haven't ever seen it. But it's just interesting they have a history working together. Now, also, Liv, you know, she's got her own audio series with your favorite robots. So there you go.
That's weird because it's a little easier for me to handle because I don't see the robots.
All right. So it's interesting. All we're talking about is audio companions. You notice that? We didn't mention a single on-screen one, even though.
Well, come on. My Sarah Jane.
Right. I mean, no one's going to beat Liz Sladen as Sarah Jane Smith, ever.
I can't. Like, she's in her own orbit.
Yeah.
Her own planet.
Yep. All right. Last question before we start talking about the convention itself. Any favorite episodes?
Ooh. Rose, because I'm a big Nine guy.
Okay.
I think that's an excellent episode. Rose. I love the Talons of Wing Chiang.
Oh, Tom Baker. All right. Yeah. A lot of Sherlock Holmes stuff going on that way.
Very unsensitive, culturally insensitive episode.
It is nowadays. Yeah.
I love the Doctor Who movie.
So the Paul McGann one. All right.
Yeah. Dragonfire.
Seriously. Okay. So that's Sylvester McCoy.
Yeah. Curse of Fenric.
Hold on. Dragonfire is the episode that made me decide I wasn't going to tune into Doctor Who anymore.
Wait, was it Curse of... No. Oh, you're right.
Curse of Fenric was really good, but Dragonfire was the one where I watched it and I said, seriously, this is what Doctor Who is now? I'm out.
I quit
for like 2 years.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to go with Curse of Fenric. I'm out.
Okay. All right. I'm not editing that out.
Spearhead from Space.
Oh, that's a great one. That was John Pertwee, the Third Doctor's very first episode. Yeah, that's great.
I feel like I'm having to choose one from every era, so I'll just stop there. Caves
okay.
Caves
of Androzani from the Fifth Doctor, his last episode. Yeah. Beginnings and endings are always good.
Yeah, but Talons, I just love that Philip Hinchcliffe era of For Four. I love the horror aspects. Like he really took it into that Hammer movies level sort of excitement for me. So,
I mean, he was absolutely into the horror and the like Universal Monster kind of stuff. All of that was all blended in there nicely. Yeah.
And no monsters that were ever used before or since, really. So it was a nice little pocket.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Well, thanks for asking. For me, it would be
going to say... 11th Hour.
11th Hour is great. That is one of the best, in fact, it is probably the best first episode for any Doctor ever.
Night of the Doctor.
All six minutes of it, favorites. Yeah. Paul McGann's
death. I cry every time.
Same. Christopher Bidme, I don't know why, but it just hits all the right buttons with me. So I love Legopolis and Castrovalva as back-to-backs. Mm-hmm. You know, Tom Baker's last episode, Peter Davison's first episode. I know a lot of people think they're boring because it's a lot of talky-talk and math and stuff, but it just brings me so much joy. I love those. Blink, obviously, is amazing. 11th Hour is great.
I'm going to argue something about Blink with you really quickly.
Well, we got to get into the convention talk. We're going to go in 30 minutes here.
I just want to ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a good episode, a wonderful episode of television, but not a good Doctor Who episode?
Oh, that's absolutely fair. Yeah, it's a very good episode of television and not necessarily a Doctor Who episode. So that's fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. You know, we could do this all night because, I mean, there's literally
internet.
There's 1,000 episodes to choose from here, 60 years worth. So, all right, let's talk about the convention. So Gallifrey One, it's in Los Angeles. It's always right around Valentine's Day, which is a little hard on the heart sometimes. But, you know, when it started, Doctor Who was still a bunch of nerds who lived in their parents' basements. So they figured none of them are busy on Valentine's Day. Let's have a convention then.
I kid.
Anyway, so let me ask you, how many years have you been attending Gallifrey One?
I've been trying to think about this, and I feel like maybe 8 years in the last decade.
Okay. All right.
I didn't know about it until you told me about it. I'm not a big convention guy.
All right.
Like, even being a Star Trek fan for life,
mm-hmm.
I've never gone to a Trek convention.
Oh.
So I don't commiserate like that typically.
This will be my 8th time attending. So if you've ever gone without me, then yes, you might be.
I have gone without you.
Okay. All right. So this will be my 8th time attending. The first time I went was in 2013. It was for the 50th anniversary. You know, I kind of talked my wife into it. I'm like, look, honey, it's the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who. I'm going to fly. You know, flying to Los Angeles, that's crazy. It's literally the other side of the country.
I'm never going to go again.
Right. I told her this was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So now it is my annual once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that I go to. I loved it so much. I used to go to Dragon Con every year, and I was perfectly fine foregoing that in exchange for this, because this is such a great convention. And so about that, you said you're not a convention guy, but you keep going to this one. So what makes this convention different from other ones?
Well, you're one of the reasons I go to this a lot.
Aww.
I get to see you.
Thanks,
see
little buddy.
Jack. Not little buddy. Equal partner. Thanks.
Thanks, Captain Jack.
No. There's still charges about that guy.
All right. That's the actor, not the character. But anyway.
Yeah. Finally allowing himself to age. Although it doesn't have a good ending for him facially, does it?
Oh, for goodness sakes. What makes this convention different from other conventions?
Face of Bo. The people. I love that the people are just, they're just genuine and nice. It's really weird. Okay. I live in Los Angeles where you could be on fire and no one's going to look at you. You
know? Probably true.
No one's going to notice. It's just, where people avoid eye contact. There are millions of people here, but it's still a very cold place. Yet somehow this weekend, everybody is just super nice and sweet. And I've never seen a fight break out. I've never seen an argument. I've seen banter and debate, but I've never seen anything, you know, ill-mannered or ill-tempered or anything like that. The people are just so freaking nice. It's weird. It's weird to me when people are that nice. You know, it's
really unusual. It's really unusual for a convention. It really is. Like, everyone is so kind and generous. It's the most generous convention I've ever been to. Also very, very inclusive, you know, very, very open to everyone from every walk of life. You know, when I went in 2013, it was the first time I went, I literally knew no one. Nobody. Within a few minutes there, I made friends with a guy named Dale Shorley. You've met him now because he's come back. Great guy. And we hung out off and on throughout the weekend. We met our buddy Brian Ng there at a different year. And it's just, you can't help but start talking to people. And you may not, maybe you make a friend or maybe you just make an acquaintance. But either way, everyone's just so stinking nice. And the ribbon trading's part of it. We'll talk about that in a minute. And it's just, everyone is happy. I think part of it, what it is Doctor Who is such an inspiring show. The character of the Doctor is so good that I think all of us, not that we want to be him, but in some way inspires us to be a little bit better. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know.
Well, he's like the come with me guy. How can I help guy?
Yeah.
You know, I think if you had, has there ever been a Superman convention?
There's ones all over the place. Yeah.
Bad idea. Like, that's a super divisive character now, right? But Doctor Who, I think, is just so welcoming. And here's the other thing. There's like a doctor for everyone.
True.
Then they just keep adding them.
Right.
Yeah. We got two more coming. You know?
That's right. This year.
14 and 15. The first time people have known two doctors are coming ever. But it's just, yeah, it's so welcoming. Everybody's nice. There's no gatekeeping. No one's like, oh, so how many moons does Trenzalore have? You want to come to this convention? You know what I mean?
That's true. You're right. Even if you just seen like one Tom Baker episode, you're welcome to you're welcome aboard. Absolutely.
Name,
right.
Name four episodes. You know, no one's like that.
Yeah. Well, one of the things they do too is it's a fairly small convention on purpose. They limit the attendance to about 3,300 people to what they would fit in the Marriott. And so it's got this small con feeling, except that they really go all out. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on in this convention. The stuff they provide you well exceeds what they should be able to with their size. Yes. I'm very impressed. It's also, it's not corporately run. You know, where a lot of conventions are, you know, really headed up by the corporations. This one's run by fans. And at any given time, there's 4 to 5 panels going on. So you can go explore anything, you know, from science to costumes to old episodes to new episodes to books to comics. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff going on at any given time. And most of the panels are hosted by like fans, you know. Now there's going to be the big room with the celebrity guest interviews, which are great,
right.
But there's other stuff going on all the time, and it's, again, it's just, it's a happy place. It really is.
And there are always doctors there,
always.
People who portrayed the doctors, not people who are the medical profession.
Well, hopefully there's some of those too, but
on hand. Yeah.
Yeah, every year they seem to have at least two doctors in some way, shape, or form. This year we have Jodie Whittaker, we have Colin Baker, so two different doctors are going to be there. Very exciting.
She's the only new doctor that's been there.
Nope. They had Christopher Eccleston a couple years ago.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, we met him.
Did not. One of the few years I didn't go.
So I went without you to that.
Okay. Okay. All right. So speaking of going every year, like what do you look forward to each year? Is there stuff that you enjoy doing every year over and over?
Well, there was a place I give my money away to. Right.
Okay.
Exhibit Hall. As soon as I walk in, it's always just, I guess I need that. I need that TARDIS interior toy. I need those new. I need that new Eighth Doctor set.
Right.
You know, that's a big one for me. I look forward to that. I look forward to seeing you and Brining, even though Brian and I live in the same city. So
that's right.
The only time we see each other.
Now, we didn't mention our buddy Mark Baker, right? He'll be there with his lovely wife Michelle as well.
He's a cosplayer, right?
Yep.
I always feel like I meet people, and I do enjoy the intimate sort of, just the, when I say intimate, I mean the close proximity you have to people, and just there's an accessibility to, like if you were going to get something signed by Colin Baker at like San Diego Comic Con, you'd be rushed off. But here you have like at least a couple seconds to glad hand and maybe embarrass yourself talking to.
That's happened before. I do remember us when we met Paul McGann the first time. Now we've met him a few times since then, but the first time we met Paul McGann was in an autograph line, and we were getting something signed, and like he signed the thing, and then he just put the pen down and like put his arms behind his head and just started chatting with us. Because I think one of us said something like, "Thanks for doing this. You know, it's been almost 20 years." And then he's like, "Is it really?" And then we just started chatting about all the years and memories, and we probably had 5 minutes with him, and maybe it wasn't five; it felt like it though. But just such a nice guy, and if you get this human moment with somebody that you really enjoy seeing on television. So it was really great.
He just turns into the Eighth Doctor, like, yeah, easy going. Everything is cool.
So thanks for asking. For me,
I get no time to ask you. You just jump in.
This is radio. We got to keep moving fast. I am a Doctor Who book nerd. I love reading me Doctor Who books. So every year I go in the exhibit hall, I go straight to my buddy Dale's got a book table there. I shouldn't call him buddy. He's like more like my dealer.
He is your dealer. You are a fiend when you see that stuff. Like, you just, first of all, Shag pushes people away.
Maybe a little. But wait, we just said everyone's nice. We said, let's not tell lies.
You shove yourself, you immediately just like plant yourself, and you just start going through Target books and whatever looks old and like, you're looking for food.
I've got the Target books already. It's the other stuff I'm looking for. Either way, I go up to Dale and say, what you got new? What you got cool? And he shows me some cool stuff, and I spend way too much money on books. He's right there as you walk in the door on the left. I absolutely love it. I've already been messaging with him in advance of the program, actually, telling him some stuff I'm looking for. So that's always fun. I love the ribbon trading. So here's the deal. If you haven't been to many conventions, and I don't, I don't think Gallifrey 1 invented this, because it's now in other conventions too, but it's the first place I ever heard of it, and it's pretty well known for it. So people get these horizontal ribbons that you stick on your name badge. Like, if you go to like a grown-up person convention, like a real work one, it might say like the state you're from, or I don't know, the industry you're in, or something like that.
I like bicycling. That.
Yeah, or something like that, right? But the Doctor Who convention, it's all, everyone makes their own custom ribbons and brings them and trades them. Like, I have a bag sitting here on the floor with 100 ribbons in there. This is Braveheart Tegan that I'm going to be trading with other people, and you know, and you end up you tape your ribbon underneath your name badge, and you just successfully do one after another, and you end up with this really long ribbon thing that like trails to the ground like a Tom Baker scarf, because it's all multicolored. It's perfect for our fandom. I love it, and it's an exciting part every year that I really, really enjoy.
You get to meet people. It opens up. It's an icebreaker.
It really is. That's part of the way I met people. So we mentioned you know, we're going to be hanging out together. We're going to see Mark Baker Wright and his lovely wife Michelle. We'll see Brian Ng. We're going to meet our friend Stephen Lacey from the Fantastic Cast, finally. That'll be nice. And hopefully, if all goes well, you and I will get to see our buddy Mike Harlow. We'll go grab a bite with him. Maybe we'll go to Carl's Jr. I don't know. I eat Carl's Jr. 3 times a day when I'm at these conventions. So in the past years, we've seen other friends as well, like, you know, Darren Aru Sutherland we've hung out with there, Professor Alan Quarterman and his family, including M and Mrs. Quarterman, you know, Nathaniel Wayne. We, in fact, as a group, we had dinner with Paul Cornell one time. So we've had lots of friends that we've seen there over the years, and it's just such a great atmosphere. It's so much fun. So I'm really looking forward to it. So is there anything you're nervous about?
Oh, yeah. So everyone knows, who knows me, knows I love the Eighth Doctor, and I love Ace.
As in David Ace Gutierrez.
As in, yes. As in Sophie Aldred. And every time I never quite know what to say, and she's very kind woman, very patient woman. So whenever I try to get something signed, like, so much wants to come out and nothing does. So I'm always nervous around her. And this is a little peek behind the curtain. I interviewed people professionally for a living, or at least I did for a number of years. Mm-hmm. So it is not something that I'm shy about. I can talk to people. But Sophie Aldred, I get nervous every time. I feel a little queasy. I never know what to do.
Well, it's a big thing to meet your childhood heroes. You know, it really is. It's difficult.
But she's more than that. You know, she's more than that.
That kind of crush? Okay. She's super cool. One of the years you weren't with me, but we did these receptions, and I got to chat with her. I was at a table with like 6 people, right? But it was just me and these 6 people talking to her for about like 8 minutes or so. And I, you know, forget all of them. I was having a conversation with her. You know, I shut them out. Yeah. And she and I talked about children's books for my daughter. That's what we talked about the whole time. And it was a lovely conversation. It was wonderful.
The old kid card. I see. Playing the old.
I wasn't there to pick her up. I was just having a nice conversation with an actress I really look up to.
I'm doing a coffee clatch this year that I've never done that before, so I'm a little nervous with that. That's with the actors who play the First Doctor and Dodo for Big Finish.
So she's not the original actress who played Dodo. She's the new actress who's doing it. Yeah, and what's her name?
The new actor.
Yeah.
Lauren Cornelius.
So is there anything interesting about her that may be of note to the listener?
I mean, she's a young, beautiful woman. So that's
she's smoking hot. she was there last year. We're like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. We talk music.
So you're going to have a one-on-one, huh?
No, there's other people there. But like, here's the thing. It's me, other people, and we're going to be in a room together. And I don't know what we're going to, like, how's this work? You know what I mean? How are we going to talk? What are we going to talk about?
She's going to have the restraining order already filled out with your name.
No, but here's the thing. How much am I supposed to know about this person beforehand? Like, do I research the two of them and say, so when you were in X, Y, or Z beforehand, or like coming to Big Finish, I just don't know what role I'm supposed to play in this thing. So I'm nervous about that.
Well, at the very least, read their Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
I'm very interested for the listener at home to hear the back end of this conversation and hear how disastrous it went.
Here's how it went terribly. You're gonna be my one phone call, Shaq. It'll be like, well, let me explain, because like the thing that you were talking about, Sophie Aldred, my buddy went to have one of those things where you get to meet the cast members or whatever at night, right? And he said to me that he talked me up to Sophie Aldred, and she was waiting to meet me, this big great fan of hers, right? So then And I go up to her and I said, do you remember this gentleman last night at this thing? And immediately she just has this look like, what is happening? And she looks at the person who's holding the pens for her or whatever. She's like smiling, like, what is this? And I just start going, so my buddy Rom says that, you know, that I should have come to meet you because I've just been this big fan for years and we've met before. And she just says, okay, would you like me to sign something? I guess so. I really wasn't sure what to expect, but yeah, I guess. Yeah, since then, I'm just nervous.
I've never had an embarrassing interaction with a celebrity, so I can't imagine what you're possibly
really
talking
at all?
About. No, no. Can you remember one where I've ever made a fool of myself?
I can remember two. I can remember
two?
One where I was present.
Two?
There's my favorite story to tell, where Peter Davison, he's greeting everybody, but these guys kind of get into zone. You know what I mean? Like they have their their autographed personas, if you will, where they're very happy to see you, but they're moving things along at the same time. Peter Davison gets to you. He gets to whatever you want to sign. He says, what's your name? And you say, make it out to Shag. And he starts writing and he just stops. And then he takes his glasses off. Peter Davison, older gentleman, polite, probably raised in great society, probably went to Eton or something, stops signing, looks up and says, excuse me? And you say, Shag, that's my name. I know what it means. And immediately he says, do you know what that means? Like, yeah, I know, but it's my nickname and my brother-in-law had the same. Da-da-da-da-da. So yeah, so that's, I would say that time you embarrassed both yourself and your favorite doctor in the same moment.
I embarrassed our whole country. But to be fair, but we had a nice conversation right before that. You're forgetting the part where I told him I met him in 1984 in Florida, and he starts telling me these stories about how he would go to Florida and he would love going to Florida because he would sit out in the sun and get sunburnt, which would then make everyone back at the studio mad because he'd show up with a sunburn. So it was a very nice conversation. And then it took a left turn with the name. So at least we had a buffer of happy interaction first.
Yeah. And then there was, I'll let you tell this.
Oh, this one was just a disaster. This is just a
lovely,
disaster.
The radiant Nicola Bryant.
So Nicola Bryant.
Who's his companion. Right. In addition.
Well, he was, Peter Davison's companion and then Colin Baker's companion. She played Perry Brown. She was hired for her amazing beauty, quite frankly. She's stunning. And they put her in a bikini and all this in Doctor Who. She was famous for that and all that. Anyway, so I'll tell you right now, folks, she's more beautiful today than she was 40 years ago, without a doubt. So I go up to go meet her to get an autograph, and I'm trying to express to her in my nerdy way how much I appreciated her on the show without going into the whole nerdy, skeevy, you're hot. So I just said, I really enjoyed watching you on the show all those years ago when I was a kid. Or I said something to the effect of like, or all those years ago, or when I was a kid. And her face, she's got that smile, right? Until I say that, and her face just drops. Right. When I have suddenly insinuated she's really, really old. You know, however I phrased it, I said it in such a way to make it sound like she's ancient. She's like, thanks for that. I'm like, oh God. So whatever stuff she was shilling at her table, I bought at that moment. I'm like, oh, let me buy that from you. Let me buy that from you. Let me buy that from you.
Line of jewelry, all that stuff. Yeah.
Oh, it was so embarrassing. I felt really bad about that one.
So because of those interactions, that color is I would like to get Jody's autograph, right?
Okay.
Jodie Whittaker's autograph. I don't know what I'm going to say to her. Like, I liked some of just make it, I love you as a doctor. And I feel like there's going to be like a dangling, like, but what happened? What happened this season? You know what I mean? But
you tell her it was so, what you did was so brave to be the first female doctor. You did a great job. You were awesome in the role, which she was. I mean, that's the scripts is a whole other story, but she was fantastic.
Yeah, I know.
There's someone else you can ask about the scripts this weekend if you want.
Oh, I got tons of questions. No, just, and oftentimes I just feel like I don't want to waste their time. You know what I mean? And
right,
so I always feel under the gun, and I'm but one of many faces.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to encounter. So that's what I'm nervous about is not making a good, just making a bad impression, really.
Yeah.
Or, unlike we did with Paul McGann, where I felt like we walked away friends.
We did. We really connected with Paul. We that was a win for us multiple times. So different over the years.
If I move, I feel like I could call him. I could say, hey, Paul, can you help me with these boxes?
Him and Katie Manning are my best friends.
She's everyone's best friend. She's so sweet.
So I am also very.
What makes you nervous?
Oh, well, thanks for asking. I am very, very nervous about making a fool of myself in front of one particular person that's going to be there this weekend. And it's somebody I've been waiting to meet for 40 years. I'm not kidding. It's Janet Fielding, who played Tegan, the Fifth Doctor's companion, the airline stewardess.
Oh.
I'm a huge, massive Tegan fan. I love that character so much. I've actually been writing in my head, like, what I'm going to say to the actress and trying to, like, I've been plotting out going, okay, don't let David be with me because he'll either try and embarrass me or he'll try to help, which will be worse. So,
that's true. Yeah, don't. Yeah,
what my what my friend is trying to say is, I'm like, shut up, David. Shut up now.
Don't use your nickname.
Anyway, so I'm like, I'm actually like trying to physically write out what I'm going to say to her because I have a lot I want to pour out about how important she was to me growing up. It's just she meant so much to Doctor Who. She was an amazing companion. She didn't take the Doctor's shit. You know, she was so different than any companion we'd ever had. Anyway, so I'm super nervous about meeting her, which is crazy.
You have to show up dressed as Tegan.
I'll do that, sure. But I'm less nervous to meet Jodie Whittaker than I am Janet Fielding, which makes no sense.
Well, she imprinted on you. That's that childhood stuff, man. I guess. That's a big deal.
So I another huge thing I'm worried about is flight delays and cancellations, because there have been so many of those lately. I'm terrified that something's going to happen with my flights, because I got to be there. This thing is, you know, I live for this all year long.
Well, let me tell you this. If something happens and you end up canceling, I'll be more than happy to take a picture with Tegan, with this Fielding, for you. Have her sign it. It'll be a both of us. Mr. Matthews.
Oh, okay, right.
I don't want to deal with that look again. I mean, I wasn't even the recipient, and I was horrified.
It was not embarrassing at all. At least not really with Peter Davison. It wasn't. All right. So, any special memories from previous conventions that are worth mentioning?
Meeting Ace.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah.
Meeting hanging out with you. Meeting you for the first time. Taking a chance. To meet with a listener.
This guy's like, hey, you want to get in my car and go to Denny's? I'm like, I'll walk there.
The idea was we meet at Denny's. I offered to drive you back.
Either way, I was not getting in somebody's car. I was like, I'll walk. You know, I'll walk like a mile to get there. And I was like, there's no way I'm getting in somebody's car in LA that I don't know. Right. Now I'd be willing to sleep on your couch. Yeah. Thanks for inviting me, by the way.
Yeah. You're invited, but Klein. I will take your place if something happens. So.
All right. So favorite memories. Come on.
Oh, meeting you, meeting the Eighth Doctor, getting the TARDIS set, taking my little one. Mm. I mean, it's not like his thing, but it's always nice to share it with him. And Jessica was there, my wife. She kind of geeked out. She met, I'm blanking on her name. It wasn't even my moment, but it was nice because she's such a fan of hers. She met the woman who plays Rose's mom.
Oh, Camille. Kudrew or something like that? Yeah.
Yeah.
She's hysterically funny.
They hung out in the bathroom and chatted.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And seeing Katie Manning play with a little kid. I really loved that.
Were you there for that in the line?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I'll tell that quick story. So we're waiting to get our photos with Katie Manning. And Katie's running late. And she comes in. And if you know anything about her, she's blind as a bat. Okay. And so somebody's leading her through. And she's coming through. And she's walking past us, getting ready to go to where the photo shoot area is. And she goes, wait, stop. I hear a child crying. Take me to this child. And sure enough, in line, some kid who'd been waiting forever, just like we all had. It's hot in there. It's crying. So she goes over there. She sits on the floor and plays patty cake with the kid until the kid has cheered up. And then she's willing to do the photo shoot. It was amazing. I love that woman so much.
Right. Like, tell me you're at San Diego. You're at San Diego Comic-Con. That's not going to happen.
Never. You know what I mean? Never.
Yeah. Like Captain America, whatever the guy's name is, walks by. He's not going to sit. So yeah, that was probably that kind of moment encapsulates the feel of that entire thing, like the whole place. There's just the Doctor's companion just walking around. She's going to be super sweet to you, and she's going to be nice to everybody.
Yeah. So I'm so looking forward to this. So I have some special memories that I have. Thanks for asking. Of course, you'd think you'd figured out the rhythm of the show by now. But anyway, meeting and talking with Paul McGann. You know, again, we've talked about the autograph line. Also, there's these cocktail receptions. We've kind of talked a little bit about them. Right. There's speed dating is what it is. You sit at a table and there's like 8 or 10 celebrities there and you get them for 8 minutes. Like they come at your table for 8 minutes. You get a chance to chat with them. You've got like 5 or 6 people at the table with you. It's, you know, when it's David and I there, it's pretty much just a one-on-one. We just shut everyone else out, and we have those conversations. We did. And we had a great conversation with Paul McGann. We talked to Ashbrook that year. We talked to so many people. Oh, my God. I'm blanking on names. The lady who played Polly, we had a great conversation with. The gentleman who played Steven. So many. And I've done a reception every year now, so I've met tons of these people at different ones. And they're always great. And I love the cocktail receptions so much. So many times that are great. Murray Gold. So, all right. So if you
like composer,
right? If you like New Who, like from Christopher Eccleston all the way through Matt Smith, the music throughout all of that was done by one guy named Murray Gold, a composer. He's phenomenal. He did a concert one year. It may have been a one of a kind of thing, but it wasn't just a concert. Like, he'd play part of the music and then explain the ideology about the way he designed it, or tell a story about a cast member or something. It was like a storytelling musical performance. It was like a one of a kind, unbelievable experience. I cried. I laughed. So many emotions, because I own all those soundtracks that he did, and I play them on repeat all the time. So this music's just like part of me. And it was amazing. It was such an experience. Wow, so good. And then, and this sort of ties, you know, we mentioned Chris Chibnall. We kind of hinted at Chris Chibnall's going to be there this weekend.
Your favorite creator.
And no, I don't have anything against him. I really don't. But the interesting thing is, you know, he's just finished as the showrunner. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And where I make this a point is, we saw, at least I think you were with me that year, we saw Stephen Moffat.
Right.
Right after he finished as the showrunner. And he had no F's left to give at this point. Yeah.
Do you remember when Barack Obama left the presidency? Like, there was a smile on that guy. Guy's face.
It's like, I'm done.
I'm done. See you later. I don't care. That's what that's this guy was carrying himself. He was like radiating.
Yes.
Don't care.
He was so relaxed. He wasn't like careful. He didn't follow. He didn't toe the BBC line. He said whatever he wanted to. He didn't pull any punches. And there was one
honest.
What's that?
He was just super honest about everything. He was just like, I'll tell you how it is. Boom.
There was one Q&A session where it got a little heated because one of the fans decided during the Q&A session decided to try some gotcha questions at him about the portrayal of women in his era. Well, his response, it was so powerful. It was like one of his, you know, Matt Smith doctor speeches. You know, I mean, it was powerful. It was motivating. He defended himself point by point, talking about all the strong female characters he had in there. Regardless of how you feel about that situation, guys, it was an amazing speech, to the point where the crowd was on their feet cheering by the end of Moffat's speech there. It was, wow. It was an amazing moment to be in the room.
It was like you're expecting the Zygons to fly away at that moment. It was that sort of...
Right, exactly. There's one other thing. This is not a happy memory, but it's a powerful memory. I was there for a Women in Doctor Who panel at one year, and it was a lot of actors up on stage, a lot of actresses up there. And shockingly, it turned into a Me Too panel, unexpectedly, and not on purpose.
Oh my God.
Yeah, all these actresses just opened up. They started talking about it. And again, this was not planned. It just kind of organically happened. And it was so powerful. And hearing like Wendy Padbury, who played Zoe, telling
did somebody do something to her?
Yeah.
I would punch the hell out of anybody.
It was horrible. She shared the story on air, what happened to her when she was a young girl. And, and it was at an audition. And it's just, I mean, people shared all these stories about what, like the costuming ladies, what they had to deal with when you're fitting a guy and stuff like that. And all these went on. I shouldn't say ever, but almost every woman on stage had a story about something that had happened to them in the industry where they just had to shut their mouth and take it. And it was awful. And it was so powerful. And it just, I mean, everyone in the audience was crying their eyes out. You know, it was again, it's not a happy memory, but it was extremely powerful. Oh, and to be in the room for it was unbelievable.
Yeah. I don't know how I would have dealt with that. Like, I would have just gotten out furious at people treating her.
So, all right, let's move on. Let's talk about this year. We've talked about the past. Let's talk about the future. So what celebrity guests are you looking most forward to meeting this year?
With celebrity guests? Ace.
Okay.
For
so,
sure.
Yep. She has a real name, by the way.
She does. I don't use it.
Sophie Aldred. All right.
Sophie Aldred, Jodie Whittaker. There's some Stargate actors that are going to be there, and I really love Stargate.
Yeah.
Benjamin Browder is going to be there. Elena Huffman. Am I saying that right?
Wait, Elena Huffman? Really? From Stargate Universe?
SGU. I think she's supposed to be there. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. SGU is one of my – love SGU ridiculously.
That kind of – it was odd how you kind of dismissed me on it.
I usually do. I'm used to that.
I think Joe Flanagan's supposed to be there.
Oh, nice. Okay. He's funny. He is really – I saw him at a Dragon Con one year. He's hilarious.
He also does, I think, is very open about everything.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to meeting him. Jim Treloar is going to be there. Excited to meet him. And Simon Guerrier, one of my favorite Big Finish writers.
Oh, okay. I just read one of his books, actually. He and I were tweeting back and forth the other day.
He named the character after me.
He did not.
Yes. And I want to say Graceless season 4.
Okay.
There's a Dr. Gutierrez played by Carolyn Pickles. She was
wow. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
So, glah.
Well, I'm looking forward to meeting Jodie Whittaker. Thanks for asking. I'm looking forward to meeting Jodie Whittaker and Janet Fielding. So the 13th Doctor and Tegan, very, very much. I'm very interested to hear what Chris Chibnall has to say about his era. Again, hoping he'll pull a Moffat and be like, you know, hey, I don't care. I'm going to say whatever I want. Because I'd be very interested to hear his thoughts on that. And then I'm really looking forward to the reception you and I are doing with Mark Baker Wright. So and there may be some more of our friends there. I'm not entirely sure yet who else going. But either way, we're going to one of those speed dating receptions. So check this out. We get to sit at a table, me, David, Mark, and maybe some other friends. And, you know, it's going to be like five of us at a table. And we're going to have 8 minutes at a shot with Sophie Aldred, who played Ace with the Seventh Doctor.
You get to see me make a fool of myself.
That's going to be hysterical. We're not allowed to film or take any pictures. So sorry, there won't be any evidence of it. But always, just in my memory. Anyway, we'll have Katie Manning, who played Joe Grant from the Third Doctor. We'll have Wendy Padbury, who played Zoe with the Second Doctor. Then we get Chim Treloar, who is, he performs as the Third Doctor in the Big Finish audios, and he's amazing. He's so cool in real life too. He's great in real life too. Then Daisy Ashford, who's the daughter of Carolyn John, who Carolyn John played Liz Shaw on the Third Doctor episodes, and now Daisy Ashford's playing Liz Shaw on the audios. Then you got Stephen Noonan, who's playing the First Doctor in Big Finish, and then Lauren Cornelius, who we talked about already, who's playing Dodo, the First Doctor companion. So yeah, it's going to be and Chris Chibnall is going to be at our reception now too.
Chris Chibnall.
That's going to be an intense 8 minutes right there. Let me tell you.
He's just going to be staring people down for 8 minutes, I think.
If he's smart, he's going to do like what Sacha Dhawan did. He was at the reception last year. I got to meet Sacha Dhawan, who played the Master. And he just bowled right in. And he's like, what's your name? What do you do for a living? Really? That's fascinating. Tell me about that.
Thinking about you for 8 minutes.
Yeah. And he was super cool. He was so great. Now, once in a while, you can, because everyone's drinking, right? You can catch them off guard. And they'll tell you something they weren't supposed to tell you. Like Sacha Dhawan, at that point, admitted he had already recorded some Big Finish audios, even though they hadn't been announced yet. Because like we're talking to him, we're like, oh yeah, you know, we'd love for you if you, oh, because he had done something and I mentioned this one thing he did. He goes, oh yeah, doing those Master audios for Big Finish were great. And he saw the look on all of our faces. He goes, has that not been announced yet? And we're like, no. He's like, you heard nothing. You heard nothing.
So those are the celebrities.
Yeah.
Are there any non-celebrity things you were looking forward to doing?
Yeah, actually there are. There's going to be an Eighth Doctor book panel that I'm looking forward to. They're going to talk about the Eighth Doctor books. It's called Alien Bodies to Ancestor Cells. Our buddy Stephen Lacey will be there. The problem is I'm so ticked. So they just announced the photo sessions, and two of my photo sessions are on top of this one. So I'm going to have to like listen to Stephen for a while, go get my photo with Colin Baker, come back, listen to Stephen for a while, then go get my photo with Bonnie Langford, then come back and finish it. The Big Finish
panel, you can do it all.
That's probably true. The Big Finish panels are always a blast, right? Because you get a chance to talk with Jason Haygalery, the executive producer of Big Finish, and he tells you all kinds of previews of stuff. And then there's the thing where he answers audience questions. And they take suggestions like, what do you guys want to hear? And we start throwing out all the ideas, and he tells us why he won't do them. But once in a while,
I'm just going to throw money at him this year and just cut out the middleman.
Oh, my! The amount of money I spend each year on there is just sick. There's a Doctor Who Deathmatch competition, which is hysterical every year. Paul Cornell hosts this. So he's a famous comic writer of television and Doctor Who novels. But he hosts this panel discussion where they argue about some topic. You know, in previous years, it's been like the best Doctor or the best season or whatever. This year, they're doing best regenerations. So I'm not sure how that's going to play out. But they do almost like a bracket system, and they eliminate, and it comes down to who's the best. And it's always funny, and it's always a lot of fun. And who knows if the answer's right at the end, but it makes for a very fun listening. And then this, I am super excited about. So there's a guy named Jess Jerkovich, and he is a piano player, or a musician, I should say. I don't mean to belittle him by saying piano player, but he's a musician. And he is in love with the music of Dudley Simpson. Now, Dudley Simpson was the lead guy who did the music on Doctor Who, like the 60s and 70s, and I think maybe even into the 80s. I'm not sure about that. But he did stuff for like 16 years on Doctor Who. And so all the incidental music, like when you watch City of Death, and the Doctor and Romana are running through Paris, and hear like the da 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 da, you know, the cool thing. That's all him. And so so Jess has become fascinated with it, and he's transcribed a lot of this stuff, and he plays it. So he'll be doing a performance of Dudley Simpson music, and I saw him last year do some of this. The guy's great, because it's sort of like Murray Gold. He tells stories. He tells you, like, why Dudley Simpson chose things. He tells you how this piece of music influenced another piece of music. He's fascinating to listen to. I mean, it's really good. So I'm looking for, but again, conflicts. I at the same time he's doing that, Big Finish has got a panel on the Third Doctor stuff, which is like my favorites.
That's your sweet spot. Yeah.
Right. I mean, I love the Eighth Doctor, but the Third Doctor, there's just something about it that's just like warm and fuzzy, like mac and cheese. So I'm struggling. I'm going to have to go to the music performance, though, because it's just amazing. What about you? Is there any like non-celebrity stuff you're looking forward to?
There's the same as you, the Big Finish audio panel, mm-hmm. where I just always push for more Avengers every year.
Mm.
Always push for Modesty Blaze.
Okay.
Always ask why we don't have more Charlotte Pollard every month. Same thing with me. I'm looking to the Eighth Doctor book session, which because that was a big part of my life for a long time. It was the only Eighth Doctor that you could get.
I just finished one of those books tonight. The 59th book in the series. I've read it tonight.
So those are the two big ones. And then any comic stuff that they have that's related, I was like just kind of peeking into. Maybe if I guess you consider Christian Chibnall a celebrity. So, So really those two things.
I wonder if, now you mentioned comics, I wonder if Titan is going to do any 14th Doctor comics, more David Tennant comics, but with 14th
They're just going to reprint the 10th and write a 4 on it.
You know, the 10th Doctor comics from Titan were really spectacular. So, any particular swag you're looking for at the convention this year? Anything you're on the hunt for?
There's that 3-pack 8 Doctor figure series. Do you remember that?
Well, what's in it? So which one? Because there's a lot of different 8 Doctor stuff. I mean, right. Is it the one with the blue jacket or the movie jacket or the Night of the Doctor or what do you got?
It's got Night of the Doctor. It's got the movie Doctor and it has the Dark Eyes Doctor.
It's 3-pack of 3 different
right.
Doctors.
Yeah.
Oh, because I know they did.
Chris Eccleston repaint.
Well, they did a set of them where you can get like the Eighth Doctor with a Dalek, like a Dalek controller from Dark Eyes or something like that. So they did. Okay, gotcha. Yeah,
that one seems like impossible to find stateside at a reasonable price.
I would love to get a version of the Doctor in that Big Finish blue coat, leather coat thing. I would love that because I have the other two. Paul McGann.
Well, he's the one Doctor I can cosplay as just by dressing normally. You know what I mean? He's just like, here's my pea coat. Here's my demon.
There you go. Okay.
Any vinyl. I'm always looking for stuff on vinyl, and I hope they didn't really do much or bring much last year, so I'm hoping that they bring more this year.
Okay.
I always end up buying books. Like, you just throw books at me and say, get this, you need to get this. Oh, you don't have this companion book? Get this. So.
I'm going to send you home with a Harry Sullivan War.
That Lethbridge Stewart novel series, right?
That's what I started tonight. I finished that other Doctor and I started a Lethbridge Stewart book.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Also, any Dalek stuff. I know my kid kind of maybe still dips his toe into it. I'm not sure. But I think it'd be nice just to get him something for that.
I'm not going to lie. I love that. I find it charming every year how you make a real effort to find something for your son. And it's always something Dalek related. And I find that so sweet.
It's like you. I see you looking for something for your wife, something supernatural related or something. Like,
yeah,
it's kind of nice to bring something home.
It is. Thanks for letting me spend like thousands of dollars or hundreds of dollars on this trip, honey. I brought you home a supernatural magnet. Dale's table. I'm hunting, or anyone's table. I want a copy of the Doctor Who book by Virgin, The New Adventures, Just War by Lance Parkin. I read a copy from the library 20 years ago. It was so good. It's a great book. I've never owned a copy, though, and it's one of the few New Adventures I don't own, and Lance Parkin's quite possibly my favorite writer from the New Adventures, so I want that really badly. So I've been trying to find it the last few years. I haven't had any luck, so maybe this will be my year. And then I'm always on the hunt for any I shouldn't say always. In the last few years, I've been on the hunt for Blake 7 merchandise. I'm fanatic about that. One year, I bought a pint glass that had a Blake 7 logo on it. And I drank out of that thing every single day until I dropped it about 6 months ago. And I felt like when Zen the computer died, on the Liberator. It was a deep, deep cut for you Blake 7 fans. I mean, I just sitting there looking at it like, I failed you. It just made me so sad when I broke the glass. It's all my fault. And then the Janet Fielding thing. I'm going to have to wait in the line. I'm going to have to get her autograph. And that's my chance to chat with her and tell her, you know, how important I think her performance was and everything, and just totally not freak out.
I think you should rehearse.
I'm going to write it out. I may actually tell her, look, I'm so nervous. I'm just going to read what I wrote. I may actually do that. I don't know. But so
don't write it on your hand, though.
Like, right. No, it's going to be on like a Carl Jr.'s napkin, like a manifesto. So it won't scare her at all.
You know what helps? Sometimes if you pretend you're somebody else.
I'm going to profess I'm Christopher Walken. I'm sure that would go over.
Yeah. No, I didn't say do an impression. Just don't be you.
Yeah. Thanks.
Like, how would
that.
My brother do this?
Oh, my God.
Be the cool one. Be the cool Matthews.
How would Gilligan do it? I'll try and emulate you. All right, so that is sort of our pre-show. So, David, any closing thoughts?
Just looking forward to seeing my buddy Shag again, and hoping to see how this Tegan thing plays out. I'm really anxious.
I'm going to embarrass myself so bad. So I'm looking forward to seeing all of our friends and everything we've talked about. It's going to be a blast. But folks, we're not going anywhere. I mean, you're just going to listen to a podcast promo break, and we're still going to be here. So we're going to go now to that commercial. And assuming all goes well, when we come back, we'll be live from the Gallifrey One convention, and we'll tell you how the event has gone.
Place your bets.
Mother, I feel sick. Send for the doctor. Quick, quick, quick.
Hey gang, it's Mark from the Social Distance Warrior Podcast. With everything that's going on right now, don't you wish you could just get away from it all? Like, far away?
It's the year 5023. We're in the galaxy M87.
Yeah, I think that's far enough. Well, then tune into the Straight Outta Gallifrey podcast on the Rhydon Network. It's just what the doctor ordered.
Well, I suggest before we go outside and explore, let us clean ourselves out.
See, he gets it. And by he, I mean you. You know what I mean.
I am he, and he is me.
We are all together, Gugukichu?
Exactly. On Straight Outta Gallifrey, they'll cover every iteration of that Time Lord.
You may be a doctor, but I'm the Doctor.
In addition to every other Time Lord in the Doctor Who universe. So tune in and escape into the world of Doctor Who.
The human race moves on, but so do the viruses. It's an ongoing war.
A little more upbeat, please.
Leaving is good. Never coming back is better.
That's more like it. Check out Straight Outta Gallifrey on RhydonNetwork.com and follow us on Twitter at SoGallifrey.
Just when you thought it was safe to hear a podcast promo.
JL Major, do-do-do-do-do, brave and bold, do-do-do-do-do, comic books, do-do-do-do-do, JL May.
JL Major, do-do-do-do-do, brave and the bold, do-do-do-do-do, comic books, do-do-do-do-do, JL May.
JL mate do 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 do, brave and the bold do 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 do, comic books do 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 do, JL mate.
JL mate do 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 do, brave and bold do 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 do, comic books do 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 do, JL mate.
The annual podcast crossover event celebrating the Justice League is back. And we're covering the 2007 Brave and the Bold series that started with Mark Waid and George freaking Perez and ended with J. Michael Straczynski. Throughout the month of May, participating podcasts will release special episodes on issues in the run. It all kicks off in the Overlooked Dark Knight podcast. Follow the event on social media using the hashtag JLMay2023. Coming this May.
JL May, do 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 do, Brave and the Bold, do 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 do, comic books, do 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 do, Mephisto, hey!
That it? Is that what you want?
Things I do for this show.
And we are back. Yes, we are live from Gallifrey One. It is Sunday. The event just closed. We said our goodbyes to Jodie Whittaker. It was tearful. It was powerful. David hugged her. I hugged her. It was great. Okay, none of that part's true. But it was an amazing convention. And we're here to just give you a little quick recap. So, David, you have a good time?
I had an excellent time. I had a wonderful time. I could tell you that this was probably my favorite one yet.
It was pretty amazing.
Well, except for the Paul McGann one.
The Paul McGann one was amazing. I mean, I'm riding on a high of it a lot right now, but it is a little hard to see past that, the buzz of it being like, oh my God, it was so good.
The regeneration glow, if you will, of the whole thing.
I see the little white glowy light all
my
around
hands
you.
Are they, tingling.
They got that weird thing. You need to go wash those. Well, we thought we'd very quickly go through some of our favorite panels and maybe any fun memories from those. I'll start off. Not a panel, but we did a reception.
Yes.
On Friday night. It's like speed dating. We probably talked about it earlier in the episode. Forgive us, folks. We recorded that a couple of weeks ago. It was like speed dating. We had all these celebrities come through, and it was unbelievable. Like, Katie Manning came around our table. We had a table of seven of us, and we became instant friends with everyone there. We had our friend Mark Baker right at the table with us. We hung out with our friend Crystal, the rest of them, the folks.
A new friend,
Daniel, that's right, and some other folks that were very kind. And then the guests came around, and like our first guest.
Chris Chibnall. Right out the gate. It's 10 minutes with him.
Yeah, it should have been like six. We got like 10 with Chris Chibnall.
And he was amazing. He was endearing.
He really was.
Like, I got to say that.
Most people, when you meet a celebrity, they're like sort of entertaining you while chatting with you. That was just a real conversation with a guy.
With a fan.
Yeah. He is a hardcore, diehard Doctor Who fan. I mean, he's throwing out references from like 1970 something and with John Pertwee stuff. Just casually genuine. Wow. We'll talk more about him in a minute, okay. I think.
Well, probably his panel.
Yeah. Who else did you see that I thought was great?
I thought that listening to Sophie Aldridge just gush over her son's fashion work.
Yeah.
It was this is going to sound odd, but like very human.
Yeah.
It was just a very like, we're just talking about our kids moment. It was kind of beautiful actually when I get down. Of course, Sophie Aldridge, as everyone knows, holds a very special place in my heart as one of my favorite companions of all time is Ace.
His nickname is Ace for a reason,
so,
folks.
Just listening to her just talk as a person about her kid in the way that you and I would talk about our kids was a little magical.
It was. Wendy Padbury was also I'm sorry, we should be saying their characters names. So Wendy Padbury, who played Zoe, was also very, very down to earth, personal. We talked about where she lives in France and talked about that and just real life stuff. Her
she's
kids.
Like a daffodil, like just like this brilliant little flower.
Oh, she's
tiny. Wonderful, sweet lady.
She reminds me a lot of my mother. Like, her and my mom have a lot of the same character traits, the same genuineness, the same kindness, the same sense of humor, self-deprecating comments. I mean, just adorable. Lovely, lovely lady. Lauren Cornelius was wonderful.
She plays Dodo.
On Big Finish. Yep. She was great. Super animated. Lots of energy. And then.
Being 20 will.
Right. Stephen Noonan, who is the Big Finish first doctor, was great. He had some great stories about being
also a fan.
Huge fan. He brought his 1973, three doctor special. I don't know if that was a Radio Times or a Doctor Who. It wasn't Doctor Who Magazine. I guess it was Radio Times. I can't remember. So. And he brought that with him to show us.
Dog ear just chewed. Through looked like it'd been read a million times. Totally legit. And you know what I have to say about him and Chibnall? Not fans in a gatekeepy way at all, but in just like a, by the way, this is just something I have to know about, so I'm kind of an expert and that's fine.
Yeah. Katie Manning, we mentioned her earlier. She came around. She is so sweet and so funny, and she is everyone's
exuberant.
Favorite crazy aunt. I mean, that is who she is. She came around the table and literally hugged and kissed each one of us. It was
still glowing.
Oh my gosh. I love it. This is my second time meeting her. She's unbelievable. Aunt Katie is who she is, really.
We had Lethbridge Stewart. I can never get that name out. John Coleshaw.
John Coleshaw, the voice actor, the voice impressionist. He's amazing. He does a million voices. Of course, as you said, he's doing Brigadier for Big Finish. He was great. Very nice. Very personable.
Did a Tom Baker for us.
Yes, he did. He did.
And just if I could have spent any time at a bar with somebody, I think it would probably be him or Tim Treloar, the voice of the third Doctor. They just seem like guys you just want to hang with, really.
Tim Treloar and I spent most of our time talking about him streaking.
Right, so, right.
Yes, I said streaking.
And he said he'd done it a number of – like
yes.
He had to think about, I guess I have done that a number of times, haven't I? Just like I guess the 70s and 80s must have been just a tremendous time for him. Chase Masterson was there. She was there representing Big Finish as Vienna.
Yep.
She was talking to us about this great charity she's got going with the YMCA. Sadly, I didn't get a chance to ask her about any Deep Space Nine.
That's okay. Not what she was here for. Not the reception, at least.
No.
Yeah.
I did want to ask her what it was like working with Eric Roberts, who plays the Master.
Yes.
Eric Masterson is a different actor.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know who we forgot? Daisy Ashford. She is an actress who is the daughter of Caroline John, who played Liz Shaw. And she is now, Daisy's now playing Liz Shaw.
Playing her mother's role.
On Big Finish. And what an incredibly down-to-earth lady. I mean, that was another very down-to-earth conversation. Now, we did talk to her about her mom, Caroline right. John, but it was talking to her about her mom as a mom.
Right. I had asked her what it, if playing the role had sort of changed the way she saw her relationship or how she saw her mother. And it became very, I guess kind of soul bearing, where she talked about how for the first time she understood her mom as a person,
yeah.
which is something that everyone kind of grows up and yeah. realizes that parents are people.
I'm a very flawed one myself. So.
Oh, without a doubt, without saying anything.
Yeah. Your rap sheet is a testament to that.
Yeah.
So
I get let out just for this.
Going back to Chibnall now. So we're going to talk about his panel, but just one or two more things from the reception. He was incredible. I'll say something and I'm going to ask David to say something, but you know, we were able to sort of ask him because he hasn't been to a Doctor Who convention in like 25 years.
Right.
But he was very active in Doctor Who fandom when he was younger. So it was interesting to ask him why he didn't go to Doctor Who convention until now and about the galley experience. But more importantly, I'm not saying we pointed this out for him, but we did bring it up and he seemed to like, yeah, where we pointed out, hey, you know, this is your first big event you've attended since you're not in charge of Doctor Who anymore. And he's like, yeah, I'm off the clock. Yeah. Ask me anything you want. And he was just very, very, you know, laid back and fun and really great. Now, you asked him a great question.
I asked him why this doctor in particular was an engineer. And it comes from, he said that there's a lack of STEM, I guess, encouragement in young girls in England. Thankfully, it's not a problem here.
Yeah.
But I guess there's just a lack of representation.
It was a great question, and it really led him to think about it for a while. It wasn't like he wasn't ready for that question. So you clearly gave him one he hadn't had before, and now, like, he had to think about it, and that
was my thing.
It's almost like you interview people for a living.
It is, yeah.
So the Chibnall panel, where he got up on stage and talked for, you know, an hour, it was eye-opening for me because, like, I don't think of him as a fanboy. I don't think of him as, you know, he's the guy who led the show. Mm-hmm. And I love all the cast. I love some of the stories from that era. I don't love them all. You know, there's some stuff where I'm like, yeah,
that's fair.
Yeah. But hearing the reason for his decisions, the passion, like the good intentions behind his decisions are unbelievable.
Yeah. It's clear that this was not just a work or a job for him, that this was something that he had. Now, when I say an agenda, I don't mean that in like the conspiratorial way. I mean that he had a very strong point of view in what he was trying to get across for the show.
Yeah.
And, everything that he did was intentional. Now, whether or not you got to see those ideas reflected, those come in different ratios and degrees.
Yeah.
But everything I heard him say had his head and heart in the right place for a series like this.
Yeah. One of the things that he said that really amazed me too was he talked about how he being the showrunner of a show that's 60 years old, you can't let the show get stagnant. Your job, I like this analogy he used, is not to carry a carton of eggs across the room as carefully as possible. You are supposed to push the show forward. And that's what he did. For better or for worse, that's for you to decide. But he pushed the show forward into new territory. And I was like, oh, you know, maybe, you know, not giving me the same was the right answer. Okay. And so I'm actually, before we're getting ready to leave, I'm leaving. I've got a red eye flight overnight and I've actually downloaded almost all of Jodie's first season. And I'm going to start from Jodie's first season and rewatch it with a fresh set of eyes and sort of make new evaluations of it.
With his point of view in mind as you go through, kind of a checklist of things.
Yep. And a point in mind of another guest we had here today. Who else was a big name that was here? Jodie Whittaker.
Oh,
that's
Jodie
right.
Whittaker. Sorry.
As David looks at me blank and like, no idea.
I thought we talked about her. But
we didn't really.
No, we didn't.
We just said she was here and she gave us hugs, which was not true. But
no. We
got to see her. She talked here at the end. You know, you missed the Jodie panel, right?
I did.
Okay. That's because your life is empty and hollow.
Yeah.
But, that's not true. Actually, he left for very good reasons. He's a very full heart because he's an amazing family man. That's why he missed it.
Oh, thank you.
But so Jodie's panel was a combination of hilarious, engaging, goofy, dorky, funny. I already said hilarious and funny. Fine. It was that funny and just true and honest. And I mean, she still commanded the room. Even during a goofy interview, she was the boss and it was, she was so engaging.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
How much of Jodie do you see in the doctor
There's definite differences.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's definite differences. You know, the Doctor's a little standoffish, you know, but a lot of the moments when the Doctor's funny, that's Jodie. I mean, that's the biggest thing about her is she is hysterically funny. And I don't mean like stand-up comedy funny, but like she's the kind of person at a party who you want to tell the story because you're going to laugh your ass off. I mean, she was so funny. I was telling my wife, like, you know, afterwards, I'm like, you would adore this woman. You know, you would think she's great. Apparently, she also swears every other word. She didn't do it up here, but she's frequently told us. Oh, she swears all the time. Right. That's right. She was great. I got my picture with her, which was wonderful.
In the jacket. She's wearing the jacket,
she
right?
was wearing the jacket. Yep. I behaved myself. No problems there, folks. And it was just – it was really cool. I already loved her as a Doctor. Now I love her as a human being. And that was awesome.
I hope that her character is – her tenure as a Doctor is well remembered.
I hope so.
And maybe down the line she does some big finish and sort of elevates the stature of her character the same way that it's worked for Colin Baker.
So big finish. There were big finish panels here. Jason Hay-Gallery, previous Gallifreys, went backstage after big interviews with Joe Martin, with Christopher Eccleston, talked about being with Big Finish, and they signed up. Joe Martin signed up, has done Fugitive Doctor stuff. Christopher Eccleston signed up. All of that came from Gallifrey. Well, he talked about how he was really going to try and get backstage with Jodie. We don't know if that happened. He's not going to tell us that. But during the Big Finish panel, he did say – he had this – I'm paraphrasing. Like said
– You're projecting – you're guessing.
Well, no, he said in there, he goes, you know how it is with certain actors? Some actors will come back and do Big Finish later. So what I read into that, that is my interpretation, my speculation, that he got to talk to Jodie and she said, call me in a few years. That's how I read that conversation. I don't
know. Okay. Well, I would hope so.
Total speculation. But that's what I – because he just randomly starts talking about how, you know, some of the folks who, you know, when they finish the show, they want to get some distance from it. But then they're going to be ready to come back. You know, and I was like, okay, he's talking about Jodie now.
You know, the guy that I never thought would come back did.
That's true.
And
that's
he came
true.
Back for them.
Yep.
Chris Eccleston.
Okay, yeah.
Number 9.
People at home don't know
right.
all that for,
listening
about
to
you.
This show, they should know that, right?
This show's only like 9 episodes old or 10 episodes old.
Talking about Gallifrey.
Yeah, okay. So who else should we talk about?
We can talk about, let's see. So you went to a number of interviews. You saw Colin Baker.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
The Sixth Doctor.
Yeah. His interview was like, I've seen him speak before and I thought, okay, well, I'll just sit in here. Truthfully, I was in there just to hold a seat to get ready for the Jodie interview. I was like, okay, I'll watch Colin again. He's fine. He's clever. He's funny. But man, it was probably the funniest Colin interview I've ever seen. I mean, the poor guy, he spilled his coffee. He threw his microphone. All this stuff kind of went wrong, but they worked it into the interview to be hysterically funny.
He is sharp.
He might go down in history as the most intelligent or cleverest. Yeah. He's smart. I mean, his elocution and his choice of words are just damn. That's a smart man. I mean, really intelligent.
I like him quite a bit. I'm sorry I missed that one.
Yeah, yeah. Bonnie Langford was also fantastic.
I love Bonnie Langford.
Me too.
She plays Mel.
And
for Fifth and Sixth Doctor Companion.
Well, just Sixth and Seventh.
I'm sorry, Sixth and Seventh Doctor Companion.
And if you ever watch The Years with Melanie, they're not that great. There's things to love, but you can't deny the quality of the show isn't that high at that point. And she is amazing as a part. Like what you didn't see on screen is Melanie. You see as Bonnie.
It's a crime, really.
Yeah.
You didn't get her.
Right.
You got
right. The lady on stage was unbelievable. You could put her on stage with any of the modern doctors and let her do her thing and she'd be great.
Of course, for you, I think one of the big highlights was the Eighth Doctor panel hosted by your friend Stephen Lacey.
Right, our buddy Stephen Lacey from the Fantastic Cast. We got to see him. That was wonderful to hang out with Stephen. We just got to see him throughout the weekend.
Talk about the Eighth Doctor books.
He talked about the Eighth Doctor books. Yeah, I had to keep slipping out for photo sessions, but got a chance to do that. And I'm realizing –
everybody wants a picture with you.
I'm realizing as we record this, we need to find him and say goodbye. Oops. We forgot to do that. We will find you, Stephen.
We'll listen to his voice. We'll hear his voice somewhere.
Somewhere, yeah. Let's talk about our friends real quick.
Okay.
Stephen Lacey, it was great to see him. Again, fantastic cast. It was great to see our buddy Mark Baker Wright from Night.
Baker Wrights.
Yeah, that's true. Him and his wife. She's lovely. She's the better of the two Wrights. Our Baker Wrights. Now he's, of course, from the Not Your Father's Autobot podcast, Black Rock's Toy Box, and just a great friend of the Fire and Water Podcast Network. And we saw our buddy Brian Ng, who actually came to the show wearing a Fire and Water Podcast Network shirt. Yay! Represent. Awesome. And we made lots of new friends. We made a new friend, Daniel, from the UK. We met at the reception.
The master.
He was dressed as the Delgado master. We met so many. Crystal, who we know from the receptions. We made lots of friends here. And
I'd like to think I made a friend out of Lauren Cornelius and Stephen Noonan.
You might have.
Considering I kept seeing them in battles.
It got a little stalkerish. Like, are you again, huh?
It did feel a little awkward after a fashion. But, yeah, you've said this before. The thing about this convention is everyone is so freaking friendly.
Yes.
And polite and nice. And there's just an air of positivity about the place.
Yeah.
That's, palpable.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. And it was very much in play this year. And as I said, we made a bunch of friends. We really did. I mean, you just can't – everyone you're talking to, you just make friends. And everyone comments on how nice it is. And all the guests talk about how there's nothing like this in England. It's a complete nerd immersion.
Which I found shocking.
Well, I talked to Stephen about it. Yeah. Stephen Lacey, to a great extent. He said, you have great like one-day events with a few people or something. And if I'm paraphrasing Stephen wrong, so be it. But yeah, but nothing to this scale. Nothing to this is immersive, you know?
Which is funny because this is a moderately sized con.
Right.
Yet it feels much bigger than I think it really is.
It's bigger on the inside.
Yeah.
So I'll tell my celebrity moment that I had. I talked about earlier in the show here, I talked about going to meet Janet Fielding, who played Tegan, and how scared I was. I made sure David was not there.
Why is she such a big deal to you? Let's start with that.
I don't know. I don't know what I've said on the show earlier, folks. So if I said this already, I apologize. It's not like a creepy, you know, oh, hey, she was hot. No, I had the crush on Sarah Sutton, Nyssa. You know, Tegan was just the other girl in the TARDIS. But as far as romantic feelings of a 12-year-old boy.
I get it.
But Tegan, though, was always there for me. She was with the fifth doctor almost the whole time. The fifth doctor is, you know, even though I saw Tom Baker first, fifth doctor was my doctor, you know, growing up. And she was there by his side. She was regardless of what other people say, she's the companion he needed. Because he was so nice. He needed someone that wasn't, you know, full on attitude. And I was so nervous to go up and talk to her because I met so many of the other folks, but that one just scared the hell out of me. So she was, her line in the exhibit hall to get your autograph was like a mile long, all weekend long, till Sunday afternoon. Nobody. Everyone's in the Jody panel. It's a ghost town. I see her just sitting there. And finally, I'm like, I literally paced.
Here's my moment.
Well, I paced back and forth like, you know, like a sitcom. Like, I'm going to go. No, I'm not. I'm going to go. No, 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 I can't do it. I'm going to go. No, 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 I can't do it. And it was ridiculous. And finally, I just said, screw it. I'm going. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. And I went up, had a chance to talk to her. She made a joke about my name, Shag.
Really?
It's a surprise. I know, a British actor making that joke. You love that. I know you love that.
Can't take you anywhere.
I got to tell her about how much her character, her performance, I should say, really, I feel like pushed the show forward. You know, I felt like if without her, we wouldn't have got people like Ace and Rose and all these wonderful female companions. I told her that my daughter is 16, 17 years old and is all attitude in some ways remind me a little bit of Tegan. She doesn't, you know, she talks back to everybody. She thought that was sweet. And then I said that I thanked her for speaking up in the 90s. Back in the 1990s, if you ever get a chance to watch any interviews with her, she very strongly said Doctor Who should not come back because the show was sexist and no one else was saying that. She was strong, had the, you know, and she took a lot of flack for it. And I thanked her for that because I said, you know, you were right. And they made changes to the show and you speaking up may have helped with that. And she appreciated that. And she said, well, I like being right. She said, it's the only time it's ever happened, but I like being, or she said, it doesn't happen often. But you know, she was very self-deprecating humor and stuff, but she was very nice, very sweet. I got her autograph. It was lovely.
Me too.
Yeah.
I got to see the panel with her and Sophie Aldred.
Yes. That was great.
And they were talking about coming back because they came back for the Power of the Doctor special. Yep. And they were tremendous highlights of that.
Yes.
For me.
Sophie did all her own stunts.
Meeting Sophie.
Yeah.
Getting my picture with Sophie was quite the event for me. So
really?
So, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's.
Those 4 seconds were really special?
Yeah. Look here, David. Yes. And then that's it. And
wow.
Then,
but you'll carry it in your heart forever?
There were two pictures taken. This is what I didn't tell you. There were two pictures taken. One because my eyes were closed because I couldn't believe
you're praying.
That I was next to Sophie Aldred. And then they told me I had to open my eyes. And so I did.
Is it one of those where you took your picture, got out of line, and had to go back in? Or are they just 2-2?
No, it was like 2-2. Please open your eyes. Open your eyes.
That's awesome.
It's like, oh, it's Sophie Aldred. Squeezing my eyes shut. Sophie Aldred. Yeah. I'm rarely starstruck because I live where I live and I do what I do.
But. Yes. Yes, you do. You get to talk to famous people all the time.
Well, speaking of, I guess, Eighth Doctor and books and whatnot.
Yeah.
You were here on a quest.
I did a lot of shopping. I did a lot of shopping. This is actually Seventh Doctor for me, but I own all the Eighth Doctor books already. But the Seventh Doctor New Adventures novels, published by Virgin from 1991 to like 1996. There's 61 books, and I own a bunch. I do, and that was my first like Doctor original fiction. I started reading around 1992. Was really into it, but I didn't have a complete collection, and I didn't expect to either because I had 11 books left to go. So throughout this weekend, I'd find some, I'd buy them. I'd find some more and buy them. Find some. So by the end of the weekend, I actually managed to get all 11 that I was missing. I have a complete collection, including earlier in the episode, I mentioned one of my objectives was to get the book Just War by Lance Barkin. I got it. I got that the first day. I ran in and grabbed it. But then I got the rest of them. So now I have a complete collection of this, and I'm like kind of buzzing from that. I'm so excited.
You got your white whale.
Yeah, there you go. Yes.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
As a collector now.
Yes.
Do you feel like I'm fulfilled, or do you feel like now I got to move on?
I got
to
move on.
What's next to the?
Well, see, I've always been there's like four main ranges. This is getting super nerdy, guys. Sorry,
it's the
four main range. Four main ranges from the old books during the wilderness years. There was the New Adventures with the Seventh Doctor. There's the Eighth Doctor Adventures. Then there's the Missing Adventures, which is stories about the old Doctors. And then there's another range that's the same thing called the Past Doctors.
Right.
Well, now I'm going to have to fill out my Missing Adventures and my Past Doctors Adventures, and that'll take a while. And some of them I don't really want to buy because they're not very good and they're not my favorite Doctors.
The completest in you.
I don't know. I'm definitely looking for some that are well regarded. So.
What about your Nth Doctor book that you were looking for forever?
I didn't even know I was looking for it. So there's a book called The Nth Doctor. It basically, after the 1996 TV movie came out, they wrote this book that regales all these stories about other attempts to make Doctor Who movies, TV movies, whatever, that failed and never happened. And I saw this book in Barnes & Noble in like 1996. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Maybe I'll buy that someday. Never did. Forgot about it. Haven't seen it since. You know, it's been 30 or 25 years, whatever. And it was just sitting there on a table. And I was like, oh, this is something I didn't even know I desperately wanted. I snatched it up. I'm very happy to have that. I got a War Doctor novel that you said was very, very good. If it sucks, it's on you, buddy. I got a few 12th Doctor and Clara books that are highly regarded. Oh, this is fun. I got Vorp magazine, which is a magazine all about Doctor Who comics stuff. Because Vorp is the sound effect that TARDIS made in the comics. So the new issue just came out like this week, and it is all about the Doctor Who animated series that was almost made in the 90s.
I had no idea.
I knew a little bit about it. Not much, but it is huge. It is comprehensive. It comes with an audio drama of one of these adventures. And it was the same animation company that did the Star Wars Holiday Special cartoon.
Nelvana.
Yeah, Nelvana. Right. Yeah. So they did the Holiday Special. They did droids. They did Ewoks. They did Care Bears. They did Beetlejuice.
What year was this? Would this have been?
Oh, God, well, I got to read the article. But it was early 90s.
Okay. Because I applied for Nelvana in the late 90s.
No
so that
way.
That would have been interesting. Yeah.
Oh, you could have been like, I loved your Doctor Who stuff. Yeah. Oh, wow. So what about you? So you bought some awesome action figures.
I did. Bought some Daleks for my son.
Woo! You didn't just buy some Daleks.
I bought a Fourth Doctor Dalek set that came with Davros, two Daleks and the Doctor himself.
Destiny of the Daleks set. Looks amazing. Freaking Davros, man.
Still in the box.
Are you giving him Davros or are you giving him just the Daleks?
Oh, just the Dalek. I'm giving Davros. And then I bought, it was a 10th Doctor set that has a black Dalek and a Cyberman.
Ooh.
From Doomsday.
You didn't show me that.
Okay. Oh, I just got it like and left.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And then I bought I never owned a TARDIS.
Right.
So I bought a second Doctor and TARDIS set.
Nice.
And I love how it's all grimy and dirty. then I bought it's a Clara Matt Smith set as well.
Yep.
I'm friend of the show, and I guess what do you call him? Fellow fire and water person.
Okay.
Ryan Daly has gotten me into toys again.
Oh.
And so this is
that's a sickness.
It's not a cheap sickness to have. It's people talk about big pharma. They should talk about toys. And that sickness.
So did you have a white whale for this trip?
I did, and I didn't get it.
Uh-oh.
We talked about the previously on the show. Yeah. We talked about how I was trying to get the Eighth Doctor from the Dark Eyes set, and I didn't get that. And
I don't think I saw any Eighth Doctor action figure.
No, he apparently
he's rare
because of the shipping problems and whatnot. And then I also wanted to get the 13th Doctor Jodie wearing this. It's so complicated to say the outfit that she. Which
okay, let me help you. It's Power of the Doctor, specifically.
Yeah. Power of the Doctor Jodie, I'll just say that.
She's wearing the amalgamum costume right. that the Master was wearing at one point, where she's got like Tom Baker's scarf, she's got Peter Davison's celery, she's got David Tennant's tie, all the yes.
Yeah.
It's a great little thing.
It's like the hodgepodge doctor.
Right.
And then
in the same set was
the 14th doctor is the David Tennant.
David
doctor.
Tennant in the new outfit.
In the new outfit. But that was $85 and I really couldn't justify it.
It was up to 100 later.
I saw it signed and it was like 165.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Okay. Painful. All right.
So there's a white whale for you.
So my luggage. Holy crap.
You're going to have to pay money for that.
I think I put all the books I put all the books in there, right?
$75.
And I was rolling it down to the bellhop and I'm like, holy crap, this thing is, feels like 18 times heavier than it was on the way here.
They're going to think you're smuggling money.
Well, I'm hoping I pull it off as a carry-on, but it's going to be one of those where like when I roll onto the plane's going to like sink a little bit. So it's a –
You're going to need help getting that thing up.
Paper weighs a lot.
Yeah. You have 41 long boxes. You know how much paper weighs.
So, cosplay. There's a bunch here. There's a bunch
That's
here.
It's a big part of this.
Yeah.
Thing.
I can only think of a couple off the top of my head that I did get to finally see with my own eye. There's an old episode, third Doctor episode called Carnival of Monsters. It's from the '70s. It's a million years ago, guys. There's a monster called the Drashig. And as much as I love it, it doesn't succeed its mission on the screen. It's clearly
– 4 people know about this.
It's clearly a hand puppet is what it is, okay, of a monster going like rah, like an eel essentially, of a monster, an alien eel. And there's a guy with him who's in a ridiculously colorful, you know, like a carnival barker kind of costume. Somebody dressed as the Drashig and they're life size. And it was amazing. It was better than the one on the show. And they had the carnival barker and it was so funny. It was hysterically funny.
It was a sea of 13th doctors.
Oh my gosh. A million 13th doctors.
Males and females.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Convention is extremely, LGBTQ friendly. And so yeah, lots and lots of people.
You know, I guess I didn't realize that she might have been like a huge sort of role model.
Yeah, or, we heard that on stage.
Yeah, yeah. I never thought of it.
Yep, absolutely.
But I would say for me, there's a lack of Candyman.
Seventh Doctor, Happiness Patrol guy.
There's a real lack of Candyman. You know, somebody wants to dig deep.
They've
do
done
something
it.
Interesting. I've never seen.
I've seen
it.
The Candyman.
I've
here.
Never seen it.
I've
in
seen
person.
The Candyman. It's basically a bunch of literally pieces of candy stuck together as in a humanoid shape. It's hysterical.
That's what I want.
I did see a Cyber Master or Cyber Lord, whatever they're called.
Oh, from the
Cybermen from Jodie's era, where they kind of have the Gallifreyan collars. Those look. I saw one of those who looked really cool.
But it was weird to see so many Jodies.
Yeah.
It was like a.
Well, it's understandable. She's also the headliner.
Well, not
of the
only
show.
Weird, but I mean, it was just like, there was you look great. You look great. You look like her. You look like her.
There was a sea of them.
There was no way. It was just, I was impressed by it, and they all looked great.
Yeah. They really did. They really did.
They could have been a musical number, really.
Yeah, lots of great cosplay. The Colin Baker, somebody was dressed as the Colin Baker, but the blue version from Big Finish, where instead of all the garish colors, it's all in muted shades of blue.
It's the morning suit.
Well, is that what they call it? I always heard it as the blue, but it's not the morning. Well, anyway.
Isn't it?
We're getting
too dippy in the weeds.
Yeah, we're not going to do that. So in closing, great convention.
It's a wonderful convention. Yeah. It's always great to see you. So that's why,
well,
that's
yeah.
what I look, yeah, yes. That's what I look forward to most is always hanging out with you. And I don't have a lot of Who friends.
Right? It's a lonely fandom for me.
It surprisingly is. So it's always great to see you and hang with you. And that dealer's room is like, it's just a paradise where I open my wallet. And it's always, I'm a giant Big Finish fan. So that's always where you'll find me is at the Big Finish panels. They mean a lot to me.
I got to see Dale. I mentioned him earlier in the show. Dale, my
Dale the dealer.
My book dealer. Right, pump it right in my veins. He's the one who helped me complete my collection for New Adventures. I went straight to his table first. They moved it. It wasn't in the same place. I had to go find him. So I went straight to him first and got a bunch of New Adventures and Doctor Who books. And so went and saw him several times this weekend. Such a nice guy. Such
Dale
a great
is
guy.
An anagram for deal.
I guess it is. Well, David, this has been a blast. You know, and it's not just the celebrities, and it's also the love of the show and the camaraderie and the friendships. Again, we mentioned all of our friends we hung out with too. It's incredible. And we have so many friends that have been here before, and I hope they come again. And if you're listening to this, if you're here on hour 17 of this podcast, please consider coming to Gallifrey One next year.
If you're on the fence.
Right.
This is when to attend.
I've never met anyone who attended that went, it was okay. No, it's always completely engaging, and they love it, and they're like, like, there's nothing like this. There's nothing like this. So, all right, folks. David, why don't you tell the folks where they can find you on the internet?
You can still find me on Twitter.
Okay.
For whatever, however long that's going, at DM Gutierrez. And I would also encourage you to listen to Pod Dylan.
Ah, okay. Right.
On this network.
Right here on the Flying Water Podcast Network. Well, David, thank you so much for being here. And thank you for being my wingman at Gallifrey One again. And for driving me around Los Angeles.
When listening to Kansas.
When we went to go see our friend Mike Harlow. Yeah. But we didn't even mention that earlier because that was off site. But yeah.
We see our best friend Mike Harlow.
Exactly. It was wonderful. All right. So I guess that's going to wrap it up. We should end it here. Come back next time when we cover another topic that brings us joy. What will that topic be? Well, it might just have something to do with Battlestar Galactica in comic books, or it might not. You're just going to have to wait and find out next time. Thanks for listening, everyone. Until next time, I'm Shag.
And I'm David.
And remember, life is short. Focus on the positive.
Find your joy.